Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And today is everything you never knew you wanted to... Okay, it's not actually. It's a cheeky episode.
You might not want to know some of this. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay. So we had a lengthy debate the other day as we were doing some research because Amy's like, what exactly is cheeky? And Beckett was like, butt cheeks. That was Beckett's thing. I felt like cheeky is, it's kind of funny. It's a little irreverent. It's not really gross.
Well, you don't go too far down the ribald road or the...
Oh, that's a good word. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a good word. And yeah. I forgot to look up British slang because cheeky is such a delightful British slang. And there were some other ones that I don't use commonly that also have a good vibe. And I forgot. So we'll just save that for another episode. I'm sorry, everybody.
Okay. Now everyone's disappointed. Don't worry.
Out.
There's good stuff. There's good stuff.
I'm expectation managing badly here. You can tell that was a good topic. And I found stuff that I'm like, oh no, they need to hear this.
So. Oh, that need to be a full episode. Okay. So you have some stuff. I think you have more stuff than I, because I was...
A little bit more.
So just hit me. Hit me with something. Okay. Punch me in the face. Be cheeky.
Be cheeky.
No pressure.
Well, this is on the other side, but this is the first thing that I found that I'm like, what? Are you kidding? fake belly buttons to make your legs look long.
What?
Yes. This is a legit thing. I saw an article in a magazine and I thought, I can't talk about that because it's totally not true. But then I did a quick Amazon search and I found it, and I found other, like, they initially started selling these in China on eBay. And then now it's a little bit bigger of a thing. And it seems like maybe the boom has died because there's not like pages and pages on Amazon. But apparently they initially were selling for about $8 a sheet. And the idea is, I think this came out around the time when you started also hearing about people actually surgically extending their length of legs.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing too. There have been people that have done that. It's a cosmetic surgery, but wildly dramatic. Can you even imagine?
So where do you, is it...
I don't know. It seems too horrifying. I've never looked it up. Leg length.
I'm looking. Well, no, what I'm looking at surgery. Is your belly button thing. And I'm like, do you put it up?
Oh,
you
higher? Put it up higher. And then you wear like a high waist jean. And so then your original belly button is hiding. And it looks like you're so long in the torso. I feel like that would look like Tweedledee, sort of like if Tweedledee and Tweedledum lost a ton of weight or something. I don't know. It looks like Gumby.
Yeah, I'm looking at someone who they have a crop top on so you can see both her natural navel and her fake navel, and it's creeping me out.
Yeah, it's super weird. If you already have a navel thing, I apologize that I didn't like warn you about this first.
What?
Yeah. Creepy.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Why? What?
Yeah. Now, some people do have a long torso and shorter legs. So maybe they care more. I don't know. This was a very unrelatable for me. Usually I can find some little kernel in there. I'm like, yeah, I get that. And I just don't with this one. But I also don't wear makeup most of the time. And I'm pretty happy with some good t-shirts.
Okay. And so I clicked on one of these fake navels on Amazon.
They're not even well printed, are they?
No, but I scrolled down and you can get silicone fake feet, and I think I don't need to go there. I'm closing that window. Closing the window.
I wonder if this prosthetic belly buttons were legitimately for people that have had a surgery. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking if you had like some extreme tummy tuck or something that maybe navel is gone.
Yeah, and now you can wear a bikini and you want to, but it's visually freaking you out that there's no belly button. I don't know. So this might fall more into the realm of that's kind of weird as opposed to cheeky, but I decided I wanted to talk about it, and you probably wouldn't tell me to stop once I started. So there we are.
Winning.
Yeah. Oh, I also wanted to know. So here's the first thing I thought of when we were talking about cheeky episodes is I thought, I'm curious about movies, and it's really hard to do a search on cheeky and movie lines. But the first thing I thought of was Mike Myers And so I thought, I want to know what's your favorite. Do you like Mike Myers? And do you have a favorite Mike Myers movie or character?
All I can think of is when he's the spy.
Austin Powers. Yes.
That one, yeah.
I don't know. SNL for me, Cheeky Monkey, Simon. That's the Cheeky Monkey reference that made me think of him. Like, this could be an interesting episode.
How long ago was that?
That would be early 80s, I think. It was a long, long time ago. And then my personal favorite is So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Wow. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's a mystery. It's kind of fun.
Oh, well, all right. Everybody, pause for a moment. No, don't do that. But, you know, watch it when we're done.
Yes. And yeah, go find it later. Just make a little note for yourself now. Yeah. So those are my first two cheeky things. Mike Myers is just a bonus. That's a freebie, everybody.
I don't know if I can recover from the navel. Okay, hold on.
That was weird.
Okay. I'm going to go in a completely different direction.
Now, do you have a palate cleanser for us?
Well, it's a cleanser of some kind. We're going to talk about skunk cabbage.
Ooh. What is that?
All right. Well, I grew up around it, and I just thought of it because when we were over in Oregon, you see it coming up in swampy areas in the woods in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. Oregon and Washington have tons of it. Okay, so imagine, like, it's swampy. Like, you wouldn't want to walk out there. It's very damp, mm-hmm. right? Big, thick leaves, and then the stem comes up that's pretty thick, like a broom handle. And then at the top, there's like this yellow calla lily-looking flower petal.
Okay.
And you can look up skunk cabbage. There's lots of different kinds. The one that you see in the Pacific Northwest has the yellow on it. And they're kind of pretty, and they stink. They smell like skunk.
Oh.
And not a little bit.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever run into them then.
Oh, well, because they're not on this side of the mountains because it's too dry.
That's merciful. I'm cool with that then.
Yeah.
It's like a hosta and a romaine lettuce had a baby and it has a lily. No, what does that flower look like?
Like a calla lily?
Yeah, it looks like a lily. Yeah.
Yeah.
A hosta and a lily and a romaine lettuce had a baby.
Perfect. I could not figure out a good way to describe it. You nailed it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you can be in a car and drive by with your windows up and you will still smell.
Oh, really?
And it's skunky? Cabbage. Yeah, wow. Very skunky.
Oh my gosh, if that was invasive in your area, that would be so unpleasant for a stretch of the year.
Yeah, it's a lot of smell. Like, you know, pot smell is skunky and skunks are skunky. This just has, it's one of those where you know, when you smell a stinky smell and it almost feels heavier than regular air.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's skunk weed. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Skunk cabbage, excuse me. It has a whole bunch of different names. Some people call it bear cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Do bears like it?
Turns out bears are an enormous fan of skunk cabbage.
Do they go roll in it?
No. So according to the Maryland Biodiversity Project, after emerging from hibernation in the spring, bears, they will snack on the foliage. Like up to 90% of their diet may include skunk cabbage.
There have to be digestive consequences there.
Well, you know why they eat it? Because the bear needs to take a shit.
Really? So there's digestive value there.
Yeah, they're only eating it in the spring as they come out because skunk cabbage is nature's Ex-lax for bears. Don't get any crazy ideas, okay?
Wow, this Nobody. Is like the thunderclapper of the bear world. Wow, I never thought about that, but yeah, after that long,
yeah,
they need to do some business.
Because they've been sleeping, everything has slowed down, they are backed up worse than a man who's had 12 hot dogs at the family barbecue. And they need some help, and skunk cabbage totally takes care of the problem.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
So there's a lot of Pacific Northwest tribes that in the past have used roots or other parts of the plant for stomach ailments, lots of medical needs, but only in medicinal doses. The dosage is very specific because skunk cabbage used wrong can cause terrible burns in the mouth and be fatal because they have oxalate crystals. So the thing that makes rhubarb really sour and puckery and bitter, and they're like, don't eat the leaves because they'll kill you. That's what's in skunk cabbage. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. So unless you are a deer or a bear that's deeply in need of a bowel movement,
you can stay away. Clear of these. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's cheeky in a bear cheek sort of way.
Do you want my favorite cheeky headline? Because I thought, ooh, yeah, there's got to be some cheeky situations in the nude news. Excuse me. But it's about nudity. So you can go on a nude cruise.
Oh, no.
The thing about this that is potentially appealing, even if you prefer to keep your clothes on, is that this is a child-free experience.
Well, thank God for that.
And children belong in all places. They can be on planes and trains, and they should be able to get where they're going, and crying happens.
Yep.
But if you can put yourself in experience where you don't have to experience that, I feel like that would be kind of wonderful. But the cost is that your companions may be naked regularly.
Yeah. Do you want to have to bring a towel to dinner to put on your chair?
They must dress for dinner.
Oh.
Yeah. Problem solved. You cannot eat naked in the main dining room. Dress is required. Buffet lines are more relaxed. So choose your dining area.
I'm sorry, naked buffet?
Yeah. So yes, you're right about the towel. You do need a towel.
I'm the wrong demographic for this.
I know. Me too. Because it's just not enough that I'm like, I'm going to go on a 50 plus cruise instead of a nude cruise. But if you like the freedom, this is for you. And they were careful to specify in the article that I read that cruise lines do not do this. Organizations and affinity groups contract with a cruise line to hold an affinity event. So nude enthusiasts can come and do this, but the cruise line is not doing it. But this is a broad range, and they say that nude enthusiasts tend to be active college-educated people between the ages of 35 and 65. So in theory, you might be having an engaging, interesting conversation. They enjoy outdoor activities. They must buy a lot of sunscreen. And they go on these voyages repeatedly. This is an appealing activity. The article was careful to say this is not a swinger thing or a sex thing.
They're like, there's no upside-down pineapples, people, okay?
There are not. No. And they're very activity filled. You could go on excursions. The art classes have nude models, of course. Body painting lessons, themed parties. So there's lots to do. And nudatory. Oh, my word. I'm making some new words today. Nudity is not mandatory. My brain just made a leap there.
It's nudatory. It's not mandatory. It's nudatory.
Yeah. So if you're comfortable with that, but you'd prefer to keep your clothes on, go for it. So it sounds like the rule of thumb for these is clothing when practical, nude when appropriate.
I want the drawing classes to have models in clothes.
Yeah. That's funny. I would like that. That would be great. If you're worried, photography is not allowed or a prolonged staring.
Oh, that's too good. Much no. And I mean, like, yay, glad, comfortable. I am too white to be anywhere near the sun without the burning would be massive. And
oh, yeah. Can you even imagine the horrifying burns?
I can, because we once went to Hawaii when I was a kid, and I snorkeled for hours and hours and hours and hours without any sunscreen on my back. It was difficult to get home.
That can be physically dangerous, too. You truly could have a problem.
Yeah, well, that's the 80s for you.
That's true. Yeah. So that's nude cruises. That's a very cheeky event.
Wow. So literally, many cheeks.
So
all
many.
The cheeks.
Yeah. Do you have another palate cleanser for us?
I do. So I went down Animal Town.
Oh.
So cheetahs, you know, the cute little cheetah with their cute little faces. They are endangered and very difficult to get to breed in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a downer. But they've figured out what they can do about it. And that's because of something called induced ovulation.
Mm.
So it turns out, the biology that I learned about, and you get to learn now too. Isn't it great? turns out there's two ways to get an egg in the chamber, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You have spontaneous and induced ovulation. So spontaneous is like what we have in humans. You get that 28-day cycle, you know, you hit 14 days, an egg is like, woo, we're going to jump out and go down the fallopian tube. Wah-ha! And that just happens, okay?
That sounds festive. It doesn't feel festive.
It does, right? Humans, primates, elephants, rats, horses, pigs, and sheep, we all seem to have this egg on a schedule type deal happening. Well, induced ovulation is when animals need something to trigger that egg drop.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that they can time it so they're not like migrating or.
Well, more so that the male is pretty sure that that baby is his baby.
Oh. Oh. That's. All right.
Right?
Come on, dude.
So in cats and a lot of other animals, like there has to be sex and then that gets the egg going. In ferrets, males will drag females around by their neck and shake them like rag dolls, and that gets the egg going.
What kind of system is that?
I don't know.
Oh my word.
Feral, absolutely feral. There's a lot of kind of like turtles. There's turtles. The male turtle will like elbow check the female a whole bunch, and then she's like, egg. So yeah, it gets weird.
Maybe if we would just really shake her.
Yeah, you know, just shake her around a whole bunch and she'll make so much estrogen that an egg will happen. Well, okay, so let's circle back to cheetahs. So okay. you got low population numbers and they keep trying to breed them. The San Diego Wild Animal Park is like super hot to figure out.
I can see that meeting, what if we really shake her?
Yeah, right? Like grab her by the scruff of the neck and try to figure it out. So and they rarely ovulate. So they're like, okay, what is it that's making this thing happen? And it turns out there's this weird stutter bark that males do in the days leading up to mating that seem to trigger ovulation.
Wow.
So if you look up cheetah stutter bark Facebook, you should find a video that has the sound of a cheetah doing this thing. And then I'm going to tell you how they figured this out.
Yeah, that is very, like, reminds me of the House TV show. Well, we think it's sarcoidosis, but then we observed, like, every third time that the cafeteria cart came by. What?
You'll notice she had four loose eyelashes, which indicates, yeah, no.
This sounds like when your cat is at the window looking at birds a little bit.
A little, it has a little the eek thing, but it's kind of a and then they end it with a whack. I'll try to put a recording in because my interpretation, I just put a whole bunch of cheetahs into heat. But like, let's get a real recording because it's better. But okay, so, you know, they're grasping at straws, they're trying to figure it out, and somebody was like, hey, you know, I feel like we're only hearing this weird stutter bark, and then we are actually getting some pregnant cheetahs. So they started checking the poop of female cheetahs, because you can use that to look for estrogen and progesterone in the poop, right? Mm-hmm. And then they introduce some dudes like in an enclosure nearby and they're making this stutter bark. And they noticed over the course of a couple days that the estrogen and progesterone were increasing in the poop. And by like day, you know, 2, 3, 4, the ladies are seeming more also receptive. They're tail flicking. They're like looking at the guys, showing them their butt. The things that one would do to indicate that maybe we could have a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So like maybe if we set up a male cheetah construction crew next door to the ladies, they'll like it. They're like, holy crap, that worked, you guys.
I know. All this catcalling. People are like, that's crazy. Apparently not for cheetahs.
This isn't good for the cause of ladies. Dudes are going to be like, well, if it works for them.
Yeah, right. All the incels are like, this is how I'm going to get a girl. I'm going to go. And that's going to do it. Yeah. Okay. So remember how I said that human females are spontaneous ovulators? Like we just kind of do it on a clock. There are some studies showing that the other ingredients in semen besides the swimmy guys can, may induce ovulation in women.
Sure.
Not completely change your cycle, but maybe if you were going to drop an egg and run it down on day 14, maybe day 12, maybe day 11. Huh. So
like Pitocin can induce labor and that's interesting.
It's not super well researched to say they've been looking at the effect in like mice and camels. They were doing this thing with female camels and injecting them with stuff in different places. And they're like, oh, look, she ovulated. Science. Isn't it great?
Could have been stress, buddies.
Yeah. PSA, wrap it so that you don't, you know, get anything that you weren't interested in at the wrong time.
Always sound advice. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So... barking cheetahs, you're welcome.
Wow. That was a science road I didn't expect to go down and had no idea.
Same. Yeah. I saw an Instagram where a guy was talking about ferrets getting assaulted to get them in the mood. And I was like, this is terrible. And I just kept going.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, that's how I find the next one that I have to talk about.
Oh, great.
I cruised some headlines and found one that was talking about how pea-stained jeans were selling for £500. And again, I'm
sorry, like human urine?
That's what it looks like. So they show, and they dressed up the model. This is a real thing that's sold by the company Jordan Luca, founded in 2018 by Jordan Bowen and Luca Marchetto. And they are having, each year, their sales have been increasing. Like between 22 and 23, they had a 15% increase in sale. And they sell, they're known for these kind of out-of-the-box designs, including like jeans with horizontal zippers. And I don't know how that would work because... I don't know. You still need the waist of the jeans to get wider so your hips can go through. So maybe those are for dudes that are Dorito shaped. Maybe they have, I don't know. One of the descriptions said shirts with sleeves and head openings on either end. Then I think that just means the shirt's really wide. I don't know.
Okay. And Weird this design. Is a dark looking stain that is not actually urine, but it looks like you wet your pants.
Yes. And they sold out online for about £500 each. And the model, if you look up the model that they're showing in most of the pictures, it's a slim fellow. He's wearing a waist-length windbreaker kind of jacket. He looks like a giant little kid. Like, why would you buy that? But people do. And it's really weird.
He looks hungry. He looks like he needs a sandwich.
Yeah. Yes. Get him a PB&J, everybody. And some fresh jeans.
Why?
I know. And one of the things as I'm scrolling through and thinking, this is a joke, right? And some other designer was like, yeah, we really love the lines of these jeans and the cuts. Just, I'm like, what? So, yeah, that's out there. Mm. And that's happening in the world, everybody. Your monthly grocery budget could buy you a pair of pea stained jeans.
or you just make them yourself.
That's true. You can go authentic. Buy yourself a $100 pair of designer jeans and just, yeah.
Be hard getting that smell out. I mean, like when you have toddlers that are learning how to use the potty and don't have a diaper on, they just kind of smell like stale graham crackers all the time.
That's such a good description.
Isn't that what it's, it's just like this really stale graham cracker smell.
Yeah. I never had made that association, but you're right.
Brain Junk does not condone the wearing of pea-stained jeans.
No, we do not support that in any way. We hope that you will find fresh-looking and feeling clothing so that you can feel good all day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Huh. We aren't fashionable enough for that.
No, so not.
Do you have? You said you had a couple things.
I got one more to wrap us up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
This was such a delightful random internet crawl that my last one is about the weenus, which my children love to say. They're like, I'm going to touch your weenus. And I'm like, no, you're not, because I'll punch you. So for the uninitiated, that is the little extra skin where when you bend your arm so that it's touching itself, you know, when you bend it up, the skin can stretch over your elbow. So then when your arm is flat, you got this little extra skin down there to allow for stretching. That's the weenus.
We don't call it that.
No, it has a real name. The anatomical area has a real name. It's the, where is it? The olecranal skin, because that area is the olecranon, which is the process of the ulna.
We call it elbow fat.
Oh, I like that too, like chicken fat.
Yeah, it's like, don't touch my elbow fat.
Mm-hmm. You could be calling it weenus. And you could be calling your armpit your vagina. That is apparently also a thing. That is not spread to my house. And I hope my kids don't listen to this episode because they will. Like, I've discovered that Allie, if I try to make Allie uncomfortable, she will double down and make it so much worse. I immediately have to tap out. I cannot win the creep out war with her.
Oh, no. I mean, like, it's perfect. But
yeah. Ask me my source for this.
BuzzFeed.
Merriam-Webster's Dictionary.
No!
Merriam-Webster.com. So here's how they start this article. The material contained in this article is meant for mature readers who have an interest in slang and who have a sense of humor about anatomical parts.
Oh, check and check.
And they conclude the article with, sorry for sharing this. You probably never view the elbow the same.
No, that is...
Yeah. And so the etymology is like, this is a late 20th century word that gained popularity in the early 21st century. And of course, it rhymes with penis.
Oh, yeah.
Penis and wiener. There you go. That's my last. That's a very cheeky, like it's an elbow cheek.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you definitely leaned into cheeky. I think I just leaned into weird and then we just mashed it together. It's like, yeah. it's a silly putty episode. When you slap
like
a silly
that.
Putty. You know, like down on the newspaper and then you peel it off and then a million years ago.
We just needed an internet crawl episode, I think. Because it is a weird, weird place. So is the natural world.
It is. You got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I don't remember what I was searching for recently, but I thought, no, I don't need to know about this anymore. Different search terms.
Yeah, I... typed in butt cheeks because cheeky. Mistakes were made.
Mm-hmm. Your browser history is gonna get, your like social media feed's gonna get real weird.
Oh, well, luckily I was looking on my laptop, so maybe not.
We need to create fake profiles for when we're searching for weird brain junk stuff.
No, I'm gonna lean in. I mean, my search history from researching for writing and then researching for brain junk, I probably have an FBI profile. It's okay.
Yeah, we think you might be wanting to kill weird people. No, that's not.
Yeah, you have a strange two navel fetish and something about skunk cabbage. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I mean, it's fine. You know what? Don't tell us about your search history.
You can tell us whether you think you're going to be on an episode of Dateline or an episode of Alone. Because I feel like that's the two directions these could go.
Right?
Like, you knew that skunk cabbage was a bear thing, and so you're not going to stay in that area in the spring. And but also, you're into two belly buttons.
That's disturbing to look at. Thank you for that nightmare fuel. I'll be texting you at 3 a.m. just so you know.
I'm thinking about belly buttons again and I can't stop.
Please make it stop.
Would you like to talk about the weenus?
No.
So this is, whenever this comes out, the next holiday meal, you have some new fodder and you're welcome.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. I was listening to the Hanson podcast, which is Tig Notaro, Fortune Feimster, and Mae Martin. Mm. And Mae Martin curates this kind of thing so that they have interesting things to talk about on dates. And then they try to work it into the conversation naturally. And I just want to hear that so much.
Wow. So if you work in cheetah stutter barking naturally, brainjunkpodcast@gmail.com, I need to know. Or Facebook.
We want to hear that chat.
Yeah, or Instagram. We need to know these things, and then we will share these things with other people. Like, subscribe. You know what to do. We've been here before. Okay. Mm-hmm. Amy and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.